Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I am good. I've started the day by reheating a Burger King burger.
Oh my god.
In the microwave.
This is a new
life, and that's what
Pete.
I'm eating, and I'm having a cup of coffee, and I'm speaking to my friend Chris Broad in his studio. So yeah, everything's going fantastic, my end.
Why are you microwaving a Burger King burger? What's happened to get to this point, Pete? How did it get so bad?
Well, I'd usually go out for breakfast on a Saturday or make something, but I didn't have time because I slept in because I drank too many Proseccos last night.
Oh dear. You make me feel good about myself. I've just eaten a Karaage-kun. Do you know what Karaage-kun is, Pete?
Oh, a chicken baby? I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chicken child, man, chicken boy.
It's, if you like fried chicken, as I do, right? I've betrayed the good people at Family Mart this year more than any other. I've been going to Lawson's. Lawson's are up their game. They're now my favourite convenience store and they have the best range of foods, both hot and cold, I think. And they've got Karaage-kun. They're like little chicken nugget style things in a box. You get a little toothpick with it and you can fish out those five pieces. But they've got a little character called Karaage-kun, literally like Karaage Kid, and he's a little chicken and he tastes delicious.
That's my dinner. That's so cute. And a
that
bit
was my
weird.
Dinner. It is a bit weird, but it's very delicious and thoroughly convenient, right? Problem with Family Mart chicken is when you bite into it, the oil just goes everywhere, all over your hands, all over your favourite jumper. It's a bloody nightmare. Whereas with Karaage-kun, you get a little toothpick, so you don't have to worry about oil. the deliciousness of chicken in a convenient and easy to walk around with form factor is brilliant, Pete.
Tiny little pincers. Tiny little wooden pincers. Very magic. Sumayoji. Sumayoji.
I've also just finished editing a extended tour of the Abroad in Japan studio, which will be out. In fact, it's out now. If you listen to this, guys, it's out on the Chris Abroad channel, the top secret second channel, for the day where I have to leave Japan or I get deported. And then I've got a channel name that's not Abroad in Japan. I could be anywhere. I could go to Iceland, Argentina, the Philippines, and I'll be fine because it's called Chris Abroad. As long as I'm abroad, as long as I'm not in the UK, I could do whatever I want on that channel. But I've done an extended tour of 18 hidden spots around the studio because I think in the main tour, it was more of a, look at me, I'm clever. I've got a studio video, right? Just showing off to Natsuki and Connor and Pete. Whereas this tour is a bit more in-depth, shoving down the alleyways, showing the little details that make this set so damn spectacular. And the little things that you can't even see on camera that are hidden away. So should be a lot of fun. Check it out. I think you'll appreciate it, Pete.
But by the time this comes out, it's going to be out. Because I'm just looking on the bar now. I'm looking...
It's coming out.
I don't even remember. I don't remember sort of seeing this video on your abroad thing. You're inside your favourite bar in Kyoto. I don't think I even watched that one. Oh, there's so much content on the Chris Abroad channel that I don't know about.
That was the show where I went to a gin distillery or a gin bar and did an interview for 2 hours, but I drank 8 cocktails of 57% gin and got obliterated. And at the end of that, I went out and I edited that live show because it got so bad at the end. I'm like really trying to do an interview and I'm like, it's really embarrassing. It's not my fault though. It was a technical issue, right? We did that live stream twice. We did the first one. It lasted 20 minutes and I had about two or three cocktails. And then there was an issue and we had to start all over again.
Oh, no.
We started from scratch and I had like all the cocktails all over again. And yeah, I don't really remember what happened, but I had to go back and edit that video just because it was just such a mess. I was a slurring wreck for most of it, and it was quite embarrassing. A lot of fun though.
I'm looking at you now. I mean, yeah, you look loose. I'm going to say you look loose, Chris. Great lighting though of the Kenobi bar.
It was really good. It was like the most high class live show ever done. The only downside was my presentation wasn't so great, and it was sponsored as well. It was a sponsored live show because it was Kenobi, a really great gin brand, right? Probably the best gin brand in Japan. No, they are. They definitely are. They've got great craft gin. I know the owner, Dave. He's a good friend. And they had their anniversary, I think 5-year anniversary. So I came down for it to celebrate. And then I got really drunk and made a twat of myself. And you can watch it all now. 2 hours of glory. An hour and a half after I cut it down. We've got a story this week from Gabby from Brisbane, Australia. Hello, Chris and Pete. Today's story comes with a stellar recommendation for activities to do in Kyoto. Oh, speaking of Kyoto, for Christmas, before our trip to Japan in early 2020, my sister brought us an experience in Kyoto, a walking tour with Japan's Last Samurai. Is it Ken Watanabe? No. I wasn't sure what to expect. We arrived at the designated location and waited for this legendary samurai to arrive. He eventually emerged through the crowd of people, samurai robes and all. It was almost comedic. This was when we met Samurai Joe. Is it actually called Samurai Joe?
Samurai
Joe. The 92-year-old samurai. To say he was a legend would be an understatement. I'd like to cover a few highlights from our walking tour with Samurai Joe. When we met him, he offered us a book he had written on Japanese tourism and customs. We asked him to sign it for us, and he wrote down 1929 and a dash and asked us what it meant. He told us 1929 was the year he was born, and we could write the year he died after the dash. Wow, such convenience at every turn. While describing the importance of water at shrines, he said to us, "I let you try other special water today. It's 33% alcohol." On our walk to the Imperial Palace, we stopped by many small stores selling everything from sake to lacquerware. All store vendors were very excited to see him and our tour group. We learned the importance of parking your bike legally in Japan as we watched one of the tour members' bikes get taken away by the police as it was illegally parked outside a shrine. Surprised Samurai Joe didn't kick in with his sword. Stop them.
Yeah.
And for the highlight of the tour, he did a swordsmanship demonstration, chopping apples thrown into the air, bamboo held by volunteers. And for the big finish, he cut an apple and a daikon radish in half on the stomach of a volunteer. That volunteer happened to be my boyfriend. He was determined to experience it. Very brave man indeed. Fortunately, no blood was shed that day, and the stunt was met with great applause for a 92-year-old man that could both walk and swing a sword very fast. In all seriousness, it was an amazing tour. The man has an amazing story. Joe Okada is his name. If you ever decide you'd like to interview him for a future video, Chris, maybe he'll cut some vegetables on Ryotaro. That would make for some quality viewing. Keep up the great work, Gabby from Brisbane. And she sent a video as well of Samurai Joe.
Sure.
And it's quite impressive, isn't it, Pete? Have you seen the video?
It is. So a man is lying on the ground. He looks slightly worried. And Joe is kneeling upon him, dressed as in his... It just looks like his... his pajamas, to be honest, but he is kind of like, it's not like full kind of warrior gear.
Samurai robes,
just well, is it though? Anyway, he's sort of kneeling over the top of him, and he sort of does that thing where he just holds the scabbard of his sword, pulls it out really quickly, chops the apple and the daikon radish that's on the lad's belly, and the apple goes straight through. The daikon does not, but he separates it afterwards and sort of go, "Look, I chopped through it." But you look at the video, and he doesn't really chop through the daikon. So I think it may have been a stunt daikon. I think it was like a pre-prepared, chopped up daikon for the thing. Because look, so you can't be chopping up tourists.
You heard it here first.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You just can't.
I mean, the sword still goes pretty close to the guy's chest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even if he did fake it and it was pre-chopped or whatever, it looks like the sword is about a centimeter from chopping straight through Gabby's boyfriend. Like, I don't think I would do it.
In his 90s. No, I don't think I would do it.
If the guy's in his 90s, 92-year-old man with a pretty heavy sword there, what if he misjudges and Gabby has to leave with her boyfriend in two pieces? Fortunately, that didn't happen. But that's pretty cool, though. Hopefully he's still around. I'll have to check him out. Could be a good little video. Samurai Joe, the Last Samurai.
I mean, the way he's kneeling, I can't kneel like that, and I'm 40.
Oh, dear.
Oh dear.
That's all those years playing football, Pete, probably. We've got a story this week. The world's first operational bus train dual mode vehicle to start service in Shikoku. I know you're way more excited about this than I am, Pete. It's a bus that could go on roads and railway tracks. It's set to enter service next month in the Shikoku region, the smallest of Japan's four main islands. And it will run on a 50-kilometer course connecting the town of Kaido in Tokushima and the city of Murohoto in Kochi Prefecture, of which 10 kilometers will be on a railway track, 3 will be in operation going, and each with a capacity of 23 passengers. That's quite impressive, though, the idea that a bus that can go on the railway lines for a little bit and then just sneakily like get off the railway, like mount off the railway lines and just drive along a normal road. I've never seen anything quite like it. Is this a real thing?
It's like one of those duck buses you see in London. You don't really see them very often. You see them in Liverpool. You don't see them in London anymore. You never see them going up and down the Thames. Weird. But yes, it's a multi-use vehicle that can ride on rails and can also ride on just the street. I just like the fact that it takes about 25 seconds to convert into a train or convert into a bus. I really like that kind of really, really slow transition. Well, yeah, but like it's not like a transformer going rah, 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 and then it just turns into something else. It's very much he presses a button, he waits about 15 seconds, and now he's a train. I think it's wonderful, though. It's such a good idea because like during earthquakes and stuff, like you say, it might be, you know, some train tracks are inaccessible so it can just fuck off on a road. And I quote.
I mean, it is pretty unique. Part of me wonders if I should go and film it before someone else does and get on it, because it could be good. I don't know if my audience will appreciate it. It's a bit of a Tom Scott video, isn't it? You know Tom Scott with his educational YouTube video? That's a Tom Scott video. Tom Scott. He'll be doing that when he comes over. But it's pretty cool. The fact they're using it as like a draw card for tourists for that area, because that area is pretty deprived of tourism. And I mean, I only went there, what, 2-3 months ago, right, with Connor for a wacky weekend. And it's a beautiful part of Japan, but it's just so damn inaccessible. So maybe the bus train craft. What's it called? What's the actual name of it? The DMV?
DMV. I guess. What's that?
DMV. Diesel-powered bus.
The mega vehicle.
But fair play to
it's
them.
It's cracking. I like it a lot.
I love the way how, like, train transport is such a big part of domestic tourism in Japan across the board, though. Like, I feel like in the UK, we're sort of beyond that point now where we get excited about trains. But in Japan, they still have all sorts. They have like the cat train in Wakayama, where they have the train station where there's a cat that sits in a box and they call him the train conductor, even though it's just a cat with a hat on. But it brings in like $10 million to the economy every year. So trains work. That's the main takeaway from this. Will you be riding on it, Pete? Will you go out of your way to ride it?
I'd love to go. And I very much like, I always say that I fall asleep as a plane takes off because it kind of tilts you back in your seat, doesn't it, when a plane takes off. So if this kind of bus, when it converts into the train part of the bus train whole picture, it does tilt backwards a little bit. So I'm bang up for that. I love that. I really do.
There you go. It was a worthy investment already, just to get Pete Dawson down there. Apparently, it was developed in Hokkaido, but it was developed in 2004 in Hokkaido, but they didn't bring it into operation due to financial difficulties. So it's just been sitting around for like 20 years. Rather than being some sort of modern engineering miracle, it's just been sitting in a shed in Hokkaido. And someone went, oh, I know. Let's use that down here in Kochi. But check it out, guys, if you're into your wacky transport. I'm trying to think of any other unusual transport in Japan that fits the bill. Anything spring to mind, Pete? Any odd transport? They've got the monorail in Tokyo. They've got the Cessna over the Sakurajima volcano. But like anything quirky, anything that's only Japan specific?
Roof ride. I'm trying to think what the weird. There used to be there's monorails over to like the Rainbow Road, wasn't there? Over to that little kind of weird virtual island, fake island that has the
Odaiba.
I think I'm fairly certain.
Yeah,
there's
a really cool
weird
view.
Kind of monorail over there. Yeah, that was quite cool.
I mean, I used to tell people to go over there to the Uedo Onsen, the really big onsen in the middle of Tokyo, but I think they shut it recently.
Right,
but there's still like, they've still got the Future Museum with like Asimo the robot, and the the monorail in itself is like a cool tourist attraction because you get to see a lot of Tokyo in a way that you wouldn't normally get to do. And I guess also, you know, they're still developing the maglev trains, which is supposed to cut down the time between Tokyo and Osaka and Nagoya by a fair bit of time. It's quite interesting, the maglev, they're digging through all the mountains of central Japan. They've got just loads of tunnels, and that's set to open, I think, in a few years. But I don't think it can really hold that many passengers, and there's a lot of criticism about it. But that's a topic for another day. Have you been on a maglev train? I've been on one from Shanghai Airport to Shanghai.
Yeah, Shanghai Airport to Shanghai. That's, and it does go a fair lick, but you do sort of, you are kind of left wondering, I mean, this is just the airport transport. I mean, like, I'm not, this isn't getting me from city to city, I suppose. In China, I guess everything's kind of spread out. It could be, it would be quite a useful thing, really.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it, if it takes off or it's, if it's just one big
blunder. I hope it doesn't take off.
Didn't make any sense. Whee! That'll be the next, the next transport, a maglev train that turns into a bloody plane. Off, yeah. We'll be back with the fax machine in just a moment, guys, and your questions and stories.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Damiano from Italy. Hello, Damiano. Is English the only language taught in schools, or could an Italian guy nick his way into Japan teaching his native language? Nick his way into Japan. Good luck with the filmmaking career. Chris, I truly believe you have the right skills and passion. And then some Japanese I don't understand at the end.
Thank you very much, Damiano. That's my new favourite name. If and Damiano. When I have a son, I'm going to call them Damiano.
Damiano.
Sounds cool, isn't it? I never heard that name before. That's cool. Damiano.
A friend who does the football ramble, he's named his child, the middle name's Pete or Peter. And I was like, right.
It's not Damiano.
I own that child, I've decided. I'm the godfather.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
You get adopted by now. I don't know where you can learn Italian in a Japanese school. Like the school I worked at, they taught English and they taught Chinese and I think they taught a little bit of Korean, but really, I don't know. It's more of a specialist kind of topic. I think maybe at like a private school in Tokyo, you could probably find a school that teaches Italian, but it's very niche. And I don't know if I've only met like probably two or three Japanese people over the last 9 years that can speak Italian. So it's a bit of a niche one, unfortunately, Damiano. It's a bit of a tough one. And that's why I get so many folks from countries where English isn't the native language, but where people speak English, like, you know, to a native level. The JET program, fortunately, and a lot of teaching programs in Japan, you can only get on them if you are from an English-speaking country like America, Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and whatnot. It's a little bit unfortunate. It's a little bit tough, but you never know. Maybe you could set up the first Italian language school in Tokyo. Someone's going to message me now and tell me that it already exists, probably.
it will exist, but it's obviously a language that not as many people want to learn, I suppose, is it?
I guess it's just a bit of a niche one, really. Folks in Japan, I think Europe just seems really, really far away. And it's not often that I meet someone who really wants to go and live over in Europe and is serious about it here, unfortunately. And thank you for the kind words about the film career, Damiano. Hopefully next year, something will be on the cards. We got one here from Ted. Good day, Chris and Pete from Ottawa, Canada. I'm planning a 2-week trip to Osaka and the surrounding area.
Oh.
That's what happens when you've only had half your bottle of coffee.
Half your coffee.
Surrounding area. Hopefully in September 2022, I have a mobility impairment that makes it difficult to walk upstairs or even onto a curb without assistance. I walk with a cane, but it's still difficult to manage, especially when there's no railing. My question is, how accessible is Japan in general, or more specifically, Osaka? I definitely won't be trying to climb Mount Fuji, but for things like hotels, restaurants, bars, and so forth, how accommodating will they be for someone with my condition? Seeing as Japan has a fairly large elderly population, I would think that accessibility would be a major consideration, but I have not come across a lot of discussion about accessibility in Japan. Any insights on the topic would be greatly appreciated. All the best. Thanks, guys. Ted, I think because of the Olympics, Japan really did invest a lot in infrastructure for accessibility. I guess I've not really made a video on it before because it's a real kind of niche specific topic, but I think you'll find, Ted, that apart from climbing Mount Fuji, which is difficult regardless of your physical condition, I think you'll find going to a restaurant, bar, staying at a hotel is not going to be a painful experience. I think it's going to be pretty good, and I've noticed that most facilities do have they've sort of actually factored it in and taken it into consideration far more than I think we do in the UK, to be honest. So I think you'll be all right. But do check it out online. Do some research online, Ted. I don't think it will get in the way. Any thoughts, Pete?
I think by virtue of the fact they do have every building has a lift, by lift, but the problem is when you know bars and restaurants, they can be quite small, which you're not going to get a chair down. So that's what I would say. It's try and sort of Google and try and have a look at other people on Google who've had the same who are in the same situation as you. I would say try and get a chair or try and get a. Oh, he's not in a chair, is he? He's just got a stick, hasn't he? Oh, so he might be all right then.
Yeah.
Might be all right. There's just not enough room, I would say, for anything bigger than just a walking space, I would say, in a lot of places. But if you've got a stick, you should be all right. Sorry, I lost my mind a little bit there.
And also, like, be careful which izakaya restaurants you go inside, because some of them, the seating are on the floor, right? And even I have trouble getting up off the damn floor when you sit on a tatami mat.
Oh, my knees.
Oh, man, it's so hard.
Absolutely scream.
That's right. So maybe you can get like a bar counter seat, and that's a lot more comfortable, to be honest, Ted. But don't be deterred. I hope you come here, Ted, and have a great time in September next year. We got one here from Yana. Over to you, Pete. Coffee time.
I've got a message from, is it Iana? Iana, yeah. It probably is, isn't it? Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Yana from Brunei. I have just turned 28 last Wednesday. Yay! Happy birthday. Many happy returns. Tanjubi Omadetto, whatever it is. Anyways, today's question. What was it? Tanjubi?
Tanjubi.
Omadetto. Anyways, today's question is for Chris. What is your favourite birthday moment from the decade of being in Japan? Oh, that's a good question. The favourite thing that you did on your birthday, where did you go? When was it? How was the celebration? Any funny encounters / incidents, etc.? Please share with us your birthday story. Stay safe and thank you for reading my mail. I just love the fact that Yana is very much just into her birthday. It's good. I love a birthday.
I hate birthday. Well, yeah, I've never been a fan of birthdays.
Stop it.
It's just a reminder every year that I'm being slowly and surely pushed towards the black abyss of death.
Good. Happy
birthday,
deserve,
Yana. Once you go past 30, it just stops being fun. You just want it to stop. But what is the fact? I don't know, really. My birthdays have been pretty lackluster in recent years, especially during COVID. I remember when I was a teacher, though, it was nice. The teacher would, like, at gunpoint, get all the students to write a happy birthday message to me. And it would just be loads of... I'd walk into a classroom and there'd be like 40 messages, and all the kids would sing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, like in English, which was quite nice. It's quite a powerful, like, thing, walking into a classroom with 40 kids singing happy birthday.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then getting 40 cards where...
And you're still a curmudgeon.
It's exactly. And, you know, they'd write like things like, I hope you get thin this year, Chris. You should stop eating chicken. And write little motivational messages in the cards. Yeah, they didn't really work that well, did it? But yeah, I don't remember what Natsuki's ever got me for my birthday. I think, oh no, I remember about a year or two ago during COVID, I think, we went to a ryokan, like a traditional Japanese inn, with Natsuki. And he bought me a remote control helicopter. And that was, we flew it around this this room in this inn, and then he crashed it into a wall, the blades came off, and his $20 present was no more. And that was like, that was my birthday present from Natsuki. So that was a fun day. Yeah, it's my underwhelming birthdays in Japan, to be honest.
Chris, I'm so sorry. Sad, you had such a stinky birthday. I'm never away for my birthday. I should go somewhere for my birthdays. I can't remember last time. I've always just been working, to be honest, and I never take days off for my birthday. I'm not a curmudgeon about it. I like my birthday, but I'm not a big misery Chris, like Chris. But I very much enjoy.
I wanted to, you know, I wanted my 30th birthday to be like a, I thought it was going to be this big thing, right? I thought someone would throw me like a surprise party and there'd be fun and excitement. But then COVID hit that month and I spent my 30th birthday in a room alone, surrounded by chocolates and crisps, doing a live show in front of like 7,000 people. It was kind of fun though. You don't get to do that often, but it's not exactly what I'd ever imagined my 30th birthday would look like, but... It was fun.
It is what it is.
Those are my three birthday memories. A birthday live stream, a smashed helicopter in a traditional inn, and being told I'm fat by 40 18-year-old Japanese students. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, check out the extended studio tour on Chris Abroad and have yourself a great few days. We'll be back later in the week on the Abroad Japan podcast. But for now, have a good one, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.